You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Age of Radio.
This meeting is being recorded.
All right. You ready, sir? I just realized,
ready?
Is this your first time on our podcast?
It is, yes.
Yeah, so I was going to say, because I know like Jim and Jeff and Jason have been on like the back when we did the Castaways. And stuff. Yeah. Well, welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, we cleaned the place up for you. We got sushi whining in the background.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's our
all I see is your logo, so I don't know if your video is not on or not.
We got turned off.
Yeah, we are on satellite internet because we're on the side of a mountain, so
we tend
to keep our video off just because it helps the bandwidth.
And
we're painting
the theater of the mind, so you can just imagine our palatial estate. It kind of looks like the Fortress of Solitude from Superman, but with a lot of more movie posters.
Yeah, oh, okay.
And more pets.
Yeah, slightly more.
Yes,
pets.
More pets.
Yeah, I mean, Superman did have a polar bear. I think
he would have a perfect view though of Cameron eating herself out right now, though.
Oh yeah, well, you're missing out.
Missing out on cats licking their buttholes.
I mean, I've got a couple of those laying around here, probably doing the same thing. So,
oh, is that what that is in the background?
Yeah, that's definitely the cats, not me.
Yeah, some sort of weird cactus, I thought, but it's moving. Okay.
Evelyn Mercer, the greatest mother Ford degenerates ever had.
What makes a brother?
Let's see.
You gonna stick around a little while this time?
Thinking about him,
It's more than the color of your skin.
I'm your Uncle Bobby.
Your wife.
Your grandma, she adopted me and Uncle Jack like she did your daddy.
It's the people you call family.
She only came across four delinquents so far gone, she couldn't find anyone to take them in. So she did.
Try one more time.
Get him, Jerry. Yeah, get him, Jerry!
Stronger than blood.
No sins of man will go unpunished.
Amen.
The brothers can work it out.
She's the only woman that ever gave a damn. The least we can do is go bang on a few doors.
Be careful with my baby.
Ooh. What do I get?
Here you go, sweetheart. Poke him with that.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
From director John Singleton.
This doesn't add up. He's already got the money.
There wasn't no gang shooting. There was an execution. They set Mom up. They set her up.
Why would somebody hire a killer to shoot Mom?
From the streets where they grew up.
What's the plan, Bobby? We're winging it, Jerry.
We're always winging.
We're gonna get killed.
What you mean, we, white boy?
You think? I got the rock. Now, my mother was shot across the street. I'm looking for a witness.
Why you think cops ain't arrest nobody?
Y'all fools been played.
To the heights of corruption.
I can't help you.
All I wanted was a name. Gonna make me turn you into a gingerbread man now.
The truth comes with a price.
Keep knocking on the devil's door long enough, somebody gonna answer you.
Jack!
Y'all just gonna shoot up the whole town because y'all mad?
Why not?
Who are you protecting?
Mark Wahlberg, Tyrese Gibson, Andre Benjamin, Garrett Hedlund.
Just want to talk to him.
My brother.
These are my brothers.
Paramount Pictures presents...
We still family, right?
We're a real family.
Four brothers.
I just wanted to talk!
Let's go talk to him now.
Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies. And tonight.
Oh, tonight.
We are continuing Marky March.
Bah, bah, bah.
With 2005's Four Brothers. Oh, but babe.
Steve.
We're not alone for this one.
What?
I know that may shock you. We have a first-timer with us.
We have
the one, the only, Lord Grace Chancellor Brian from the History of Bad Ideas podcast. Welcome, Brian.
How are we doing, guys?
Pretty good. Excellent. No longer the intern.
No longer the intern.
It's now canon.
I'm only the intern when Jason can't read what has been typed out for him. So
every time?
So all the time. Yes.
Charcuterie. Anyway.
Oh,
well,
I get
those
so,
at home,
I get...
you're going to hear pets whining. They have decided now is the time to complain about not being in our labs.
Sushi, it's okay. Look, dude.
Yes, she's a cat. I know. We all hate cats.
I hopefully won't have any of that on my end. I've got just got home from work a little bit ago, so I've got two very tired dogs from daycare all day.
Oh, that's what we should have done.
Yeah.
Daycare.
Must be nice. No, I'm just kidding.
It definitely it has its advantages.
Yeah. well, babe, I don't know about you.
Steve.
Oh, thirsty.
I'm quite sober.
Brian, do you are you drinking anything on your end?
I do have a rather large pour of some Barrel House Select bourbon.
Ooh.
Is that from the bourbon exchange program you were a part of or whatever?
No, I'm almost, to be honest, I'm actually almost out of my my bourbon pyramid scheme bourbon.
Nice.
So now I'm dipping into the personal stock.
Now he's working on No Bourbon Left Behind.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a great idea for a podcast.
Okay. Sushi, we'll get you some bourbon. It's okay. Calm down, buddy. Gosh.
What are you guys drinking?
Oh, well, let's see. We have something. Basically, it's not your father's root beer. 5.9% malt beverage with natural and artificial and caramel flavoring and coloring. All right. Trying to see where it's based out of or anything, but
Pennsylvania, maybe?
Let's see. Oh, here are small town brewery, La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Ooh, hey.
5.9%. I'm not quite.
I have had the root beer, and then I think they do like a
cream
soda. Like a cream soda, maybe. But I've for sure had the root beer. It's really good.
Excellent. Well, let's find out. My top. Nice. And the pour.
Beautiful root beer colored beverage.
Yep, effervescent like a soda.
Yeah, has a normally or creamy white head, lots of effervescent bubbles dissipating quickly.
Effervescent bubbles dissipating quickly.
It pretty much just smells like root beer.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, here we go.
Steve's got in for the sip.
Oh shit, that is delicious. Yeah, tastes like root beer, and apparently it's 6% booze. So.
Oh, that's dangerous. That does not taste like booze at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
This is how you get kids drinking, everybody.
Right.
That's not your father's root beer. Proud sponsor of Everything I Learned from Movie.
Hey, the children are our future and we have to prepare them.
That's right. You have to be able to drive home buzzed. You can't afford an Uber. You're too young.
Right?
That's the drink that you let them drink so they can drive you home.
Yeah.
You get one of your father's root beers as soon as you get home. Like, all right, you're going to have to sit on the bicycle, though. So 2005's Four Brothers.
You're just not going to fit on the handlebars.
You did lose the weight, old man.
Oh, man.
So yeah, 2005's Four Brothers. Brian, was this your first time watching this movie?
It was not. I have seen this movie probably 8 to 10 times.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I saw it in theaters when it came out. And it's one of my Marky Mark favorites.
Excellent. How about you, Ben?
This, I think, was my first time watching this.
Really? Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd seen it a couple times, like back when it first came out. I remember like really liking it, so I was like, "Oh, yeah, it'd be good to revisit it for Marky March." I mean, you know, it's him joining up with some other recording artists and stuff. And
yeah, all star cast.
Yeah, from director John Singleton.
That's me, Steve.
Oh well, I'm glad you asked, babe. Have you seen Boys in the Hood? Have I made you watch that yet? Yeah. Okay. All right. I thought so. he directed that. He also did the Remember the Time video for Michael Jackson.
You know,
the one with Eddie Murphy and Magic and Iman.
Okay.
Yeah. Poetic Justice. Babe, have you seen that?
No.
And Tupac and Janet Jackson. And yeah, it's Higher Learning, Rosewood.
Higher Learning.
Yeah. That's,
Higher Learning is an excellent movie.
Absolutely. I keep forgetting Michael Rapaport's
the Nazi.
Yeah. Yeah, we were watching Metro the other day, and for some reason I just popped in my head like, oh yeah, other Rapaport movies. Yeah.
What was he doing? He says, oh no.
No. But then we get into Singleton's sweet spot with
Shaft.
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson one with Christian Bale's the bad guy. I always forget when I start watching.
Yeah.
Baby That's Boy. Weird. Babe, have you seen Baby Boy?
Not seen Baby Boy. I told you, my hood movies are my weak spot.
Well, babe, you quote it almost every single day.
Do I?
Mm-hmm.
Does it have Chamillionaire in it?
Right?
Oh,
people get shot every day. B,
I have seen that scene.
Yeah,
I have seen that scene.
A little movie called Too Fast, Too Furious. Anyone ever seen those?
Never seen it.
Yeah,
I have, no, I'm kidding. It's amazing.
I've heard of it. No, I'm. This is awesome because Baby Boy started his. He did 3 movies in a row with Tyrese. So he did Baby Boy, yeah. Too Fast, Too Furious, and then 4 Brothers.
Yeah.
All 3 straight solid movies with Tyrese.
Yeah, absolutely. Tyrese may have peaked, and then he went to the Transformers universe. So, you know.
Then he came back to his moneymaker.
Yeah. Was it Fast 6 he came back in? Or was he's in 5, right?
I think 5 is when they jumped Bloody.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I think he comes back in 5.
Nice. But Singleton also did TV episodes of Empire, American Crime Story, the OJ season that we watched, Billions, Snowfall, that 30 for 30 about Marion Jones. And unfortunately, he passed away in 2019. But this movie was written by David Elliott.
David Elliott.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. David Elliott wrote The Watcher, Nothing Sacred, This, Catacombs, G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. 2 episodes of Nightfall. Nightfall, but it's, you know, night with a K at the, yeah, anyway. And he's the creator of Proven Innocent, which is a show I've never seen.
I believe that's on Fox right now.
Oh.
Yeah, that actually is supposed to... It's getting great reviews right now.
Well, wait, is that The Accused or whatever? Or a different show? Like, I know there's
The Accused that's, with Michael Chiklis, you know what?
Or whatever. But
yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. That, yeah, this is not... Nope. That's exactly what I was thinking of. So,
yeah. Nope. So you said, oh yeah, it's new on Fox. I'm like, wait. Is that what it's called? Because I know they advertise the hell out of it.
Yeah, Proven Innocent, definitely, probably not good at all because it only played for 1 season, I think. So, but it had Kelsey Grammer in it.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I think I remember that from like 4 or 5 years ago. Okay.
2019, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, it feels like forever ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But babe, I think I might have found out the other writer, maybe why this movie is such gold, because two credits, this and G.I. Joe Rose of Rise of Cobra. That's Paul Lovett, baby. Two and out of the park. Of course, as Brian mentioned, star-studded cast. Marky Mark Wahlberg as Bobby Mercer, Tyrese Gibson as Angel Mercer, Andre 3000 as Jeremiah Mercer, Garrett Hedlund as Jack Mercer, Terrence Howard, Sophia Vergara, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Taraji P. Henson, Fionnuala Flanagan. Yeah.
Everyone. Josh Charles.
Josh Charles?
Yeah. He's the, he plays the Terrence Howard's partner.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's the guy. Okay. Yeah. I've seen him in other things. I just know his name.
Yeah. I love him from Sports Night, way back in the way the it's probably in the 90s now. I don't know. But he was fantastic in that. That's what I remember him from.
So, Brian, how'd you watch this movie?
Most recently, I streamed it on Amazon.
Nice. Yeah, we I dusted off my old copy from 2006 and
oh, nice.
Yeah, right.
You know, I no longer have like I don't have a DVD or Blu-ray player anymore. So like we downsized our collection 2-3 years ago, and like everything is pretty much streaming. So like we still have, but it's weird because we still have a ton of DVDs and Blu-rays and stuff, but we just got rid of our Blu-ray player, so they just sit in the box.
Nice. You didn't have like a PlayStation or something to play me, like PlayStation 4 or
no? I don't have. I legit have nothing, no way to watch any of them.
Nice. Well, you got it. If you ever need to go like shoot some skeet or something in the backyard, you can just put those DVDs in and like, sorry, too fast, too furious.
Meanwhile, Steve, what's the game you've been playing on what system? Every morning?
Oh, NCAA football 14, because they won't make a new college football game for the last decade.
They were supposed to have been coming out with a new NCAA.
Yeah, it got pushed to next year again, and you know,
Sure with the NIL money with college sports now, I'm sure that there's a far more complicated process in putting that out.
Well, there may be. There's also the fact that EA's doing it, and Madden has kind of sucked for like 5-6 years. Well, okay, realistically 10 years, but
I mean,
so yeah, we'll see. I'm not holding my breath though. Yeah. I got the classics. Yeah, we did the quote unquote downsizing too. I have a shit ton of physical media, but I ended up putting them all in like 400 disc holders.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
your CDs back in the day.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, yeah.
And that worked out pretty well. It took, I don't know, 1,000 cubic feet and put it down into 10 or 20. I don't know. A shocking amount. But
so much more room for activities.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's it. We just become best friends? Yep. All right. So we pop in our DVD. And the movie starts off with a little Jefferson Starship or no, airplane. Jefferson Airplane is what they were back then. The, don't you want somebody to love? Yeah, guys, the soundtrack of this movie is pretty great. I mean,
it really, really is.
Like listening through, I'm like, I wish these guys would shut up so I can listen to Marvin Gaye.
Right?
Yeah, Singleton always does have like great soundtracks.
Yeah, true. But yeah, we're a local bodega or whatever, a little convenience store on the corner, and you know, see an old lady doing some shopping. A kid comes in and does a little bit of shoplifting, but she snags him up, like, hey, what are you doing? Like, you can't be doing that. You're gonna get in trouble. I mean, Samir here or whatever's gonna have to call the police.
Please don't call the police on me. I would not survive in prison.
The kid's not the greatest, but But she's like, all right, well, just don't ever come back here. Don't bullshit a bullshitter, you know. Don't come back here and
shop later. I just wanted a candy bar. I am very sorry.
Yeah. All right, move along, you little scam. And then she goes and gets a Thanksgiving turkey, and I'm like, do they have turkeys like that at corner stores? I've never seen it, but
all right. So
I mean, 2005, they did.
I lived in downtown Detroit, and I actually know this right. particular. It's referred to as a party store, mm-hmm. It's a liquor store.
Yeah, you get they don't sell buzz balls, and
there's no groceries in downtown Detroit. You have to drive to a suburb.
Well, there you go. Sorry, John. Get your facts right.
Basically, at least when I lived there, every chain had pulled out of Detroit except for CVS. Like, I did most of my grocery shopping at CVS because they were the only ones around. There was technically a market that was like attached to Wayne State University, but everything was expired and like $45 because they could just food poison the students. And what are they going to do about it?
What are you gonna do? Go to Detroit Mercy Hospital? Fuck out of here.
Actually, there is a big it's the DMV.
What?
It's called the DMV. It's the Detroit Medical Venue or something like that.
Oh.
The medical venue?
Something like that. That
sounds shady.
I'm sure it's called the DMV because it's the DLs where you go get your driver's license. It threw me the fuck off. But it's one of the most regarded like cardiac hospitals in the U.S.
Oh, well, there you go.
How much are tickets to get into that venue?
Right?
Who wants to see CAT scan? So she's in the back getting her turkey. When all of a sudden, two guys come in. Everybody be cool. This is a robbery. And they like, they're not fucking around though. They just blast some air like right after, like, but she gives a little shit. Do you hear that? And they walk over, and then we get this nice little classy shot from outside of the bodega with and flashes in the window and stuff. And it's like, well, she took two shots. It only took one for Samir. She's a tough lady. Yeah.
Right? But,
then we're getting shots around Detroit and stuff while the credits are still going. We see that that train station that looks like Penn Station, my wife pointed out in Alex Cross.
Yep.
There's the Ambassador Bridge behind it. And babe, what's the Ambassador Bridge?
It's the bridge to Canada.
Oh.
It's privately owned.
Oh.
By the same gentleman who owns the abandoned train station and the abandoned hospital.
I mean, it makes sense. It's all right there, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then we drive around Izzy's old hood as there's a funeral for the old lady. Mm-hmm. And luckily we got some detectives there to give us backstories for Marky Mark and all the other all the four brothers as they
walk. All the brothers.
Right. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, that's Bobby Mercer. He used to be a little shit. Now he does something in construction or something like that. What's his name? Jack or whatever. He's some sort of third-rate punk rock star or some shit.
He also used to be a little shit. He's still a bigger shit.
I'd be like, oh yeah, the old lady took in these those four delinquents and raised them. Whatever.
She had been like, she either worked for like foster care or something, and like I want to say like Terrence Howard said like 300 she raised or like pushed through 300 kids through foster care, and these four were the biggest or the only four that she could never find homes for.
The worst of the worst. Nobody wants them.
So she kept and raised them herself.
Raised them as her own.
That's right. Because nobody wants half of Outkast, Tyrese, Marky Mark, and the kid from Tron Legacy or whatever. Nope. Nobody needs those kids.
Also, Steve pointed out here, the kid from Tron Legacy is the only one who doesn't have a music career.
Yeah, exactly. He's
playing the musician.
He's never had a top 40 hit.
Just to play on that, he actually does act now, just recently I found out, because he is one of the stars of Tulsa King on Paramount.
Oh, Oh yeah.
And he plays a bunch of music in the show and has music on the soundtrack. And I looked into it and he actually does have music out now and has a band.
Oh shit. You know what that means? Four Brothers Last Dance coming next year.
Four Brothers Step It Up.
Four Brothers Two to Streets.
Well, I mean, maybe they can play the venue there.
First time they came to kill. This time they came to slay. John Singleton hit us. Oh shit. what's Ryan Coogler up to? We'll get Steve Soderbergh on. All right. So anyway. Where were we? Oh yeah, the funeral. But I like how like they just walk into the funeral and everybody's like, hey, it's good for you to come to this funeral, man. And Mark's like, we didn't come for the funeral. We came to kill some motherfuckers.
Right.
Even to find out who killed her.
Yeah, we're not here to pay our respects. We're here for vengeance.
Vengeance. Anyway, eventually they like go back to the mom's house because they're gonna stay there while they're in town. And we meet the fourth brother there, Tyrese. Angel. Yeah, that's right.
Angel.
And I like how they're like brothers, you know, they're like, you know, giving each other shit, blah, blah, blah. Like half their dialogue just quips back and forth to one another and possibly some homophobic slurs. But
yes,
but that all gets forgotten quickly as soon as Marky Mark goes into the bathroom and we see his ugly cry face.
Yeah. Yeah, that was rough.
He looks like someone who's never cried, like doesn't understand what's happening when he's crying. Like, what's happening? Why am I leaking? But yeah, there you go. So,
yeah, so like they all go to their individual rooms. Mark Wahlberg sleeps in their mom's room, and then Tyrese is about to leave. He's like all dressed up and he's getting ready to leave.
Yeah, that's right, because he's got to go see his friend and like, oh, it's not that Living La Vida Loca chick, is it? Like, hey, it's a friend, okay? That's all you need to know. Yeah, is your friend still married?
I broke up with her in high school.
Right.
You know that.
Definitely not going to see Sofia Vergara.
Definitely not.
Got to him running away, buck-ass naked with Sofia Vergara and the guy in a car sliding around, popping out the window. By the way, so many shots fired in this movie. No cops in Detroit.
Oh no. Well, and that is the truest part of this movie. Yeah. The least true part is the end when cops show up to do anything.
Mop up afterwards.
Yeah, no, when I worked at the pizza place, they said like if you have a problem, absolutely do not call the police. Call the Wayne State University security and tell them that there's a student in trouble.
Oh, there you go.
Because they're all armed.
Oh my god.
Because the cops won't come. The cops were a block and a half away, by the way.
Oh no.
Did they come in wanting their free drinks and pizza and stuff? And he's like, the fuck out of here.
Oh no. 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 Yeah,
smack him with a slice. Here's your free pizza, motherfucker.
No, because that would mean leaving the police station.
That's true.
They did have a few things delivered.
Oh, that's right. You're not a donut shop. You're
yeah. They did have things delivered, but you have to pay ahead of time. So
there you go.
No cash on delivery in Detroit.
Don't do that. That's a sucker move. So we get some scenes of like boys being boys and roughhousing, and then they just like cut to a turkey dinner. And okay, so when they're sitting for the turkey dinner and they're like all like, I don't know, flashing back or seeing the ghost of their mom. What was the mom's name? Marion or something like that? Evelyn.
That's it. Evelyn Mercer.
Yeah. And she's just popping up like, stop slouching, you know, sit up straight.
Put your elbows off the table.
Such a filthy mouth. You know?
You're hiding your tattoo? Check out mine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was very weird.
Yeah. Just especially like, the come hither eyes she was throwing at Tyrese or whatever. Like, yeah, check it out, buddy. Come around and see me sometime. But Yeah, so then they're like, all right, screw this, let's go play some pickup hockey. Okay.
I mean, what else is there to do in Detroit?
Right. Or Jersey, for that matter. Right, Kevin Smith? So, yeah, then they, they like meet up with an attorney for like the will reading. And he's like, well, here's the safety deposit box. And they open it up and like basically all it's in there is like a necklace, two of their birth certificates, and well, like $100.
Yeah, like he, right? Like, yeah, they hand the box to Garrett Hedlund, and like before he even opened it, he said, "How much do we get?"
Yeah,
they smack him in the head.
Show some respect, goddammit. But since he brought it up, how much do we get?
Yeah, well, everybody gets money except for him.
You got the house, which has a real estate value of, I'm being told, $1,200. wait, are there copper pipes in there? Okay, maybe $1,400. But yeah, we hear that. Oh, yeah, that's right. Jeremiah like takes him to his like a parking structure or something. He's like trying to rebuild. I don't know.
Construction project that was supposed to be like his big thing. Supposed to turn it into like luxury lofts and storefronts and offices.
Yeah, but the funding got cut. What? Yeah. It's all tied up right now. I'll get it in a bit. You know, just got to put it back into the community. You know, all that stuff. Cool. Let's go to the bar. Good call, Marky Mark. So we head to the bar.
Yeah.
And this is where they get a little drunk. You know, there are a few sheets to the wind.
What?
But then all of a sudden it turns and they're like, all right, so how are we going to find these motherfuckers and kill them? and Jerry or whatever, you know, Andre 3000, he's like, yo, I got a family. I can't be a part of this shit. Like, cool. You can go. That's cool. So anyway, what I was thinking was,
this is how we're going to murder these fools.
Yeah. Word on See you later, Jerry.
Go the door, hit you. Yeah. And then it basically cuts to them like raiding this like party and pouring gas on a guy. Yeah. Like, so who did it, motherfucker? Who killed our mom? God damn it!
You know? Who killed my mother? How's your mother? Because mine's dead.
They take the kid hostage.
he's like, well, you think it's kind of fit as fuck? You know, they turn the lights out at 10 o'clock there on those courts or whatever. That way he's playing basketball at midnight.
He's lying. We're gonna murder him. We're gonna take him out to the basketball courts, and as soon as they don't turn it off, we're gonna pop him right in the head.
At 10:02, right, he's like,
just do it right there in front of the market where their mom got killed. Yeah, that's fine.
Exactly. We gotta redecorate this place real quick. Like 10:02, and then at 10:03, the lights go out, and he's like, "All right, lucky for you." So they're like, all right, we're being played, but why would everybody want to kill a sweet old lady like Evelyn? Well, we'll find out. So then they go check out the store. And, you know, I guess the new Samir, I don't know. Some guy's like, yeah.
Probably Samir's dad.
Yeah. Or probably the guy that like owns the store and is like, well, we have to shut down for a week while we mop, you know.
Right.
But he like shows them security footage, and you see everybody's like reaction to it, and I don't know. Yeah, it's execution style. All right, cool. So she was targeted, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I remember the first time watching this, like, they weren't even looking for an old lady. They just shot the dude, and they didn't even recognize she was there until she gasped or whatever, right?
Yeah,
so like that's what they made it look like.
Sure.
They followed her in.
Yeah, if you remember at the very beginning, they show her pull up and get out of the car, and then they pan back to another car pulling up behind her.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay.
So, but and then when they go into the store, they make it look like they're just robbing the store.
Yeah, true. All right. So then I don't know. They give you like a description of the witness or whatever from somebody. I don't even know who. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the store owner is telling them about some guy who's always over there, who's always on the course playing basketball, that real tall guy, never wears a coat.
Yeah.
has an afro like Ben Wallace.
Yeah. And so then we cut to them going to the, I guess, the nearest random basketball game in a gym, mind you, not on the courts. And so I was like, so wait, what? Is this some random high school game? They're walking in the middle and they like grab the ball. You know, all of them are like 5'4" against like real basketball players or something. Like, all right, everybody, everybody need to calm down. Pulls a fucking strap out. I'm like, well, he's dead. You think there's no guns there in those stands?
Yeah, he's the only one that has a gun in that building.
Yeah. Even his brothers are like, whoa, 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 what the hell? What are you doing, bro?
Oh, and I like everybody walks out, like, leaves him. Like, nope.
Excuse me, we're looking for this guy, a tall guy with an afro. Maybe you know him. Maybe you know where he lives. And I'm like, yeah, you're not getting an answer from anybody in there. But there's one kid who's like, oh, shit, and, like, trying to, like, sneak away. And they chase him for a bit. And, yeah, it's his brother Damien. So they go to the projects, check it out. And I guess they see him, pull the strap. Okay, so here's how they need to handle that situation. Let me tell you, as someone who definitely doesn't think of vengeance 24/7, you just casually walk up to the guy, you're like, excuse me, is your name Damien? You know, like, excuse me, we're from the school. Is your name Damien? Blah, blah, blah. Like, what, why you need to know me? Like, and then you pull the strap when you're up on him, not when it's like 100 yards away, you're running after Damien, I'm coming with the gun swinging in the air and shit, and he's already like hitting the buttons on the elevator. It's like, come on. You gotta be more Max Payne with this shit, you know?
Oh, fuck, that would be so
which means a lot more stupid slow-mo.
I wanted to love that movie so much because I love that video game.
Yeah, everybody did. It was rough.
It was so bad.
So, Brian, maybe you can answer this question about that movie. So are there fucking Valkyries or not?
No, babe. They were drugs.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's been 15 years. I'll allow it. No.
Yeah, I tried very hard to forget that I watched that movie.
It was a year ago, but it seems like yesterday for us. So what happens? Yeah, so they chase him in the elevator, go up to his apartment, he like six dogs on him, and I don't know, they like blast with the fire extinguisher. No, there was two.
Or were there two? There, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they get the fire extinguisher and spray him off, and he the guy they're chasing like throws a rope out of his window and is like trying to climb out of his apartment.
Yeah. Yeah, the greatest fire escape right there. Just, you know, rappelling down or whatever. And then all of a sudden they show up and they're like firing guns back and forth. And I'm like, just cut the fucking rope. Well, they did. Yeah. And nice little compound leg fracture. Ouch.
Is he dead? No, but he's fucked up.
Right?
Not yet. Yeah, we're not gonna do that, homie. So you didn't see anything, huh? All right, cool. All right, so now what? Right. But then we pop to, I just have written down as casino restaurant. That's the big ass sign.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I believe it's the Motor City Casino, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, probably.
Yes, I'm probably wrong.
No, yeah, that's right. No, it's probably the Motor City Casino. And probably also wrong. No. That's right. They go to the restaurant. Oh, that's right. And because they're like looking for, I don't know, someone who looks fishy, I guess. Like I think the guy gave him a name or whatever, but it's like, what does he look like? I don't know, a black guy? Something like.
Right.
You know. But yeah, basically they like walk in, they're like looking around, and we see these two guys at the bar. They're like talking to each other. Hey, look at these crackers here at the front door. And then they instantly just start firing at him. Clack, 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 clack. Like, oh, I guess you found him. All right. And then this is actually one of the more exciting parts of the movie, I think, is the little the car chase, like in the snow and ice and shit, just kind of sliding around. Blizzard. What was that?
I said in the blizzard.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, they're probably not going more than, you know, 15, 20 miles an hour. But yeah, they're sliding all over the place. They're hanging out the windows with shotguns and shit. And, you know, they're riding on rims for a while. And eventually they just kind of like flip the El Camino they're trying to get away in. And yeah, just walk up and execute them. Okay. go to the morning and the police are there like checking it out. And I'm like, okay, cool. So what information do they have? Nothing. All right. I guess the four brothers are just going to be doing some vigilante shit, Death Wish style for a while. All right, I'm in, I guess.
Yeah.
We see, oh, that's right. We see Marky Mark's No Mercy tattooed across his back when he's like getting his arm fixed because he got, I don't know if he got shot or like hit in the window or something.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the bite. That's okay. That's
yeah. Sofia Vergara's wrapping up his dog bite, telling him not to be such a pussy.
Yeah, right. You're too pussy. Stop it. But then knock, knock. It's the detectives at the door.
Then we get to see Marky Mark in his beautiful bathrobe, his mother's bathrobe.
Yeah. I like how they comment on it. And he was like, yeah, Tyrese here wanted to take it, but I'm like, nope, I'm oldest. And then they're like, yeah, where's your car, Marky Mark? I think I left it somewhere. I don't know. I got pretty wasted last night, you know.
Somewhere. Yeah, Jerry drove us home.
Yeah, that's right. I drove.
Blame it on the brother who hasn't been around for any of the shit that they've started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're like, oh yeah, and, notice that I don't know if you guys know this, but there were a couple of contract killers killed up by Motor City Casino or whatever, you know. And they're like, oh, weird. I thought it was just petty thugs that killed our mom. And now you're talking about contract killers and shit? That's weird.
Yeah, that's when they tell him that they pulled a hair off the body.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's like, you'll know how I know that you pulled one of my hairs off of a body. It's when the jailhouse door slams behind me.
That's right. It's like, this ain't Murder, She Wrote, motherfucker. You ain't getting a confession. Do your damn job. And then we meet the real villain of this movie, and I completely forgot that it was Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yeah,
who is like a globe thespian actor, like Othello. You know,
I love Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yeah, but
He's so good in everything he does.
Oh, he absolutely is.
Even small roles where he pops up for a minute, and and this scene here, they're like a Chinese restaurant or something, and we see like four or five guys eating and just, you know, gentlemen to villainy, you know, that kind of shit. but then we see Victor Sweet walking up. And he's like,
Victor Sweet.
It's like, the fuck y'all celebrating about, you know, whatever. I told you, no local killers, only outside contractors or contract killers or whatever.
Out-of-town killers.
Out-of-town killers.
He starts talking about, you don't pay a hooker to stay, you pay her to leave. It's the same with these shooters, you know. And then, for some reason, the one guy just, like, keeps eating his meal or whatever, and he's like, motherfucker, are you hungry or something?
Stop eating my sesame.
Yeah, pretty much.
Throws his food on the floor and tells him to get on the floor and eat like the dog that he is.
Yeah. Yeah. And my next note is this his best role? Because he is selling this shit. He's like, do it, motherfucker, right now. You know, he's like all intense and shit. And the guy just gets down and starts eating. And he's like, hey, bitch, you yelled at me earlier. Why don't you get down there and eat it too? You know? Yeah, good stuff. So, yeah, then we go back and we see Sofia Vergara and Tyrese, and they're having some stupid drama for whatever reason, because, I don't know, some people just love that shit. And, but then it turns around as soon as she, you know, sits on that washing machine and like, yep. Come on, just like when we were 16. Ah,
my favorite room in the house.
Yeah. But then he gets cock-blocked by the State Farm guy, you know, fucking Jake from State Farm shows up and he's like, hey, how's it going there, sir?
She sounds hideous.
Well, she's a guy, so. But basically he's like, hey, so, it's just kind of procedure here with a like $400,000 payout for an incredible amount of life insurance that you guys, on the policy you guys took, I don't know, a week before this lady was killed. It's kind of weird. By the way, your brother Jerry's broke as a joke.
Also very weird that it's like pitch dark outside, so it's like 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and this guy's like showing up with a $400,000 check.
Yeah. I wouldn't answer the door without a gun by my side either. Except right? Like, oh, this is another contract killer. You just know this. Yeah.
This is how hard he is, babe.
Yeah. That'd be funny. Tyrese pulls a gun on him. Drop him, motherfuckers. Like, no. I have $400,000 in a cashier's check to one Jeremiah Mercer. Is he here, please? You know. But basically, I mean, the long and short of it is they find out that Jerry's broken. They're like, wait, what? Okay, cool. And more drama, blah, blah, blah. Bobby and Jack, they find some guns and like.
Yeah, they go. Camera. They go to like the two guys, the contract killers, they go to their place.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And they flip over the mattress and there's a bunch of guns and like a camera.
Camera or something.
Yeah. And basically they find out, oh my God, they've been trailing mom for a while, but why would they do that shit? Who stands to gain? Are you coming up here, buddy? Here, let me move that so you don't sit on a raptor claw. There you go. That's all the space I got for you, buddy.
Like just a 60-pound dog trying to crawl on the couch with us.
I've only got like 20 square feet for you here next to me on the couch. No, that's enough. Yeah. So they're basically putting together, like, you think Jerry might be involved with gangsters? I don't know, but there's this guy, Douglas, on the city council he talks to all the time. By the way, then we get a cameo from Adam Beach out of nowhere. I'm like, what the fuck is this guy doing in here? I think he's the one that tells him about Douglas on the city council. And like, yeah, maybe you need to talk to him. He's the one that canceled all the funding and stuff. And oh, that's right. They also, when they're like looking at the pictures on the camera, whatever, they see that the mom was hanging out with the lawyer guy from earlier.
They break into his house. They go to his house and break in. I forgot.
That's right.
They're like on his laptop.
Yeah. Yeah. They break
holding
in
the dog.
Yeah. The little security poodle.
Sophia Vergara like follows him and is like in the driveway like honking the horn yelling at him.
I don't even know what the fuck that is. She's there. I'm going to leave there, motherfucker. Come on now. Honk, 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 honk. And they're like, if you don't take care of her, I will. It's like, no, I'll take care of her. And then the lawyer's like driving up all this shit going on, like, excuse me, what are you people doing in my home? and they basically just start like pulling up his shirt and slapping his belly. I'm like, guys, he's a lawyer. You know this, right? But he's like, I've been seeing your mother socially. and they're just kind of like, oh, for real? Oh, shit. I'm sorry, dude.
Isn't that when he tells him that he has some of her night belongings?
Yeah. Some of her night things and a couple robes or dresses or something like that. And they're all like, no, you can keep that shit. No, we're good. We're good. Thanks, buddy.
You keep that. Yeah, we don't need that.
Then we cut to a scene of Marky Mark on the shitter while Jack is taking a shower, and I'm like, me and my brother aren't that close.
Yeah, we had discussion about right? this. Is this a guy thing?
It is not. No. That I know of.
Hit us up at EILF Movies if this is your kind of thing, and I will judge you.
So this also brought up a thing. I once dated a guy who, him and his two brothers, all just shared the same underwear. Like, they just had an underwear pile between the three of them.
Fucking what?
And they just shared, and they said this is a normal guy thing.
No. They lied
to
you. you met yourself a liar.
Hey, yeah. That's why we ended up breaking up.
What?
And what makes that scene even weirder is Tyrese comes in and is asking if it looked like, pulls his pants down. It's like, does this look like herpes or something?
Yeah. Like, what does this look like? It's going to get infected or something? I'm like, dude, okay, no. this is why Jerry doesn't want to be a part of this fucking thing, because he knows he's gonna walk out of these conversations like, Jerry, settle a bet for us. He's like, nah.
Jerry, we're measuring our dicks. Yeah. Come get your dick out. We need to measure.
Hey, Jerry, what's cooler than being cool?
Ice cold. All right.
Yeah, so,
Okay. So most grown men don't share underwear with their brothers.
No.
Okay. No. And most grown men don't take a shit while their brother's in the shower or vice versa.
Oh, that'll get your ass kicked in my house, especially if you flush.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, I'm taking a shower. I don't need your poo particles in my vicinity.
So like, it's a double-edged sword right there, because if you don't flush...
If you
don't flush, the cat's gonna get you. If you do, like, if you do flush, you fuck with the hot cold water.
That's right.
Especially in an older house, which we know that is, because they all grew up there.
Hell yeah. Held together with clay and shit.
They
Sushi, calm down, for fuck's sake. Love having a puppy.
Puppies are great.
So go ahead,
one. Puppies are amazing. We just adopted one 3 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
How many times have you cleaned up his poopy?
So he has only had one poop accident in the house in 3 weeks. And he has had a few number one accidents in the house, but he is actually farther along potty training than we expected when we got him. He's
excellent.
Almost 6 months, or just turned 6 months.
Oh, that's how old Sushi was when we got him.
Yeah. Oh,
get ready for adolescence.
Oh, I'm excited. I just, today was his second day at work with me in daycare, so he's passed out cold.
Oh.
Yeah, sharing underwear. That's right. All right. So we go to a parking garage, and they run to this Douglas guy and just start pouring gasoline on his car. And I don't know. He's basically like, excuse me, do I fucking know you? Like, that's basically
it. Why'd you kill my mom?
What are you talking about?
Why'd you kill my mom?
Who killed my mom? Okay, it wasn't me. It was Victor Sweet. You know.
Comes right out with it.
Yeah. Like, they don't even have to, like, really get too close or whatever. He's like, all right, I know why you're here. It's Victor Sweet. You can find him at this address. You know, blah, blah. No, not quite. But, yeah, he gives up pretty quick. But then we cut to Jerry. He's at the bank. He's cashing
that check. Yeah, Angel followed him to the bank to cash that check.
Yeah. And then, Detective Terrence Howard. Remember, he's in this movie? He sees some footage there at the police department of Evelyn coming in and talking with his partner, Fowler, I think his name was.
Fowler.
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, chatted with her for about an hour. Oh, interesting. I didn't see a report or anything about that.
Yeah, it's like right around then in the movie, you can start to see things like everybody's starting to put a little piece of the puzzle together.
Yep. Yeah, we find out, Victor Sweet, he basically runs the neighborhood, and Jerry owes him money, blah, blah, blah. So then they go to a bowling alley, and they're just sitting there chatting or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then they see Josh Charles.
Jerry.
Jerry. Oh, yeah, Jerry meeting with
Eddie? What's that guy's name?
By the time, every time you guys say Jerry, I'm picturing Jerry from Rick and Morty.
I mean, if Andre 3000 could be confused for Chris Parnett and whatever. Anyway, one of the bad guys. Evan, that's what it is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Evan, one of the bad guys. And Jerry's there to, like, you know, hand him basically $400,000 or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But then, Bobby and everybody come walking up and like, excuse me, are you Evan? Yeah, you need to give us that money back right fucking now, or I'll beat you in front of your family and shit.
Like, oh. We're going to do this right here in front of my kids.
Yeah.
I mean, if you make us.
Yeah. Just give us that envelope, then you can go on to your poker night or whatever, you know. So yeah, gives them the envelope back, and we cut to poker night where we have, you know, Victor Sweet and Councilman Douglas and Evan and like a couple other people that I don't think have speaking parts. Douglas shows up and he's like, yo, Vic, there's these guys looking for you. And he's like, oh, weird. Evan was just talking about this. Did you give them my fucking name?
No. I'd never give him your name. Nope, not me.
Who sit at the kiddie table? I'll talk to you in a minute. You want time out, motherfucker?
Are you in trouble, mister?
Great. And then we get a weird scene where he's like talking to, I don't know, some Serpico looking motherfucker there at the table. And he's like, hey, you getting married to that Puerto Rican hottie you've been hanging out with? Like, yeah, it's going to be great. Hey, I'm going to send you out of town on something. And don't worry, I'll keep her company for you. Yeah. I'm just like, okay, why does everybody listen to this motherfucker?
maybe you can teach her how to cook.
Yeah. No, I'll teach you some things for you, though, you know. Socially, no. How the lawyer put it in the last scene, yeah. At that moment, I'm like, yeah, you'd be shot. I mean, these are other criminals. You don't talk about fucking their ladies like that.
No,
right.
I don't care how you know CD King of the Underground or whatever you are. No, nobody's that well connected. Just saying, but still, convincing it. Yeah, he's an evil character. He doesn't give a fuck. He does what he wants, and apparently the people of Detroit are just okay with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's funny because he finishes that and then he turns to the kids and he's like, who wants ice cream?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You just get up and like run upstairs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And after the kids run upstairs, he turns back and he's like, Evan, pistol. You know? And then we just cut the scene right there and it's like, Jesus, you're going to get the Benz going from one end to the other, man.
Councilmen. Yeah. I mean, councilmen aren't safe in Detroit either.
Yeah. People get shot every day, B. You'd be all right.
Right.
Yeah. So then we cut to them staking out Jerry or whatever. Yeah, that's right. They're like the mom's house or whatever. They just walk in and just like punch Jerry and shit. They're like, what's this motherfucker? You paid all of her insurance and stuff. And they cashed out $400,000, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, motherfucker, I paid all of her bills. She's an old ass lady.
That's the insurance, you know, or the life insurance she took out for his kids or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and you kind of see him like, fuck, why didn't we think of that? You know, like, shit, that's like the obvious answer. I'm sorry, man. We hear the ominous music and shit. All right, we need to sober up, guys. We're losing our shit. But yeah, he starts saying like, oh yeah, the, you know, Victor Sweet, you want me to pay a bribe or whatever so I could keep the loans to do the houses or whatever and blah, blah, blah. And you know, knock, 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 someone's at the door. Jack goes and answer it. It's some...
Bust him in the face with a snowball.
Yeah, yeah, flips him off. Some other guy pelts him with a snowball. He goes chasing out after him. And I'm like, Ricky, no! I know where this is going. Have you not seen Boys in the Hood?
Oh.
So yeah, he goes running out and there was a firefight.
Jack gets shot.
Yeah, Jack. Okay, so here's the thing about this whole scene. The one qualm I have with this scene. Jack gets shot and he's like in the shoulder, you know, high torso, but yeah, like shoulder basically. And he falls on the ground and he's just fucking crying and not moving all the time. Ah, Bobby, help me! Ah! For like the next 5 minutes. While there's a goddamn drive-by / I don't know, fucking SEAL Team 6 coming in trying to take out the other three brothers. Not one of them takes another shot at Jack, for one. He's right there in a snowbank right in the middle of everything. And yeah, they're just ripping up this old lady's house with like armor, apparently brick-piercing bullets. Just
jackhammer the brick. Yeah, they're like, there's like four or five of them. Just like destroying the house.
Yeah, just fucking destroying it. And yeah, basically what happens, yeah, as I've written down, why is Jack screaming so much? Doesn't he know he needs to like play dead or something? So why don't they light his ass up? But eventually like one of the guys like breaks into the house and Jerry stabs the shit out of him. And then we reach the point in the shootout where everybody starts running out of bullets. And so then Marky Mark like grabs a brick and like pops a dude, like tosses it at a dude, hits him in the face, and then just starts beating the shit out of him. Like, you know,
Tyrese jumps out of the second floor window and like tackles somebody. And
yeah, oh shit. And then they're like, one of the bad guys like gets in a van, is about to run over Marky Mark, and then boom, Jerry comes in with a fucking minivan or whatever and saves him at the last second. And and then I guess the rest of the bad guys just disappear.
I think, because, yeah, I mean, they obviously, they ran out of bullets and they're scared.
Yeah, like they didn't drive away, they didn't run away, they just disappeared.
Yeah.
Disappeared.
And because they're the three brothers that are around Jack, who's, you know, fucking dying, man. Like blood coming all out of his mouth and shit. And there's like one guy in the van still like, did Victor Sweet send you? Yeah. It was Victor. Cool.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Oh, good. I thought I'd have to kill somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
And see, a real professional killer would have been like, no, it was Detective Terrence Howard or, you know, some shit like that, you know, throw him off the set. But no, this isn't one of those movies, Steve.
Nope.
Who sent you? Dave Bing. Hall of Fame point guard, Dave Bing? That's right, motherfucker.
So it could have been like, they could have said like Ben Wallace. It's Pistons. Yeah, he's, like
Brendan Shanahan. Wallace. Is he still around?
Benoit balls.
Yeah, so the police show up and they're like, hey, so there's a lot of dead fucking bodies around here, guys. You know, got any idea why?
Self-defense.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
self-defense. Obviously.
Apparently still Team 6 thought Bin Laden was hanging out here, so we had to protect ourselves. And,
that seems about right.
Yeah, that fits the time period, right?
Yeah,
the detective is like, oh yeah, your mom knew about the loans and the bribe and all that shit. She actually went in to file a report for corruption and shit. But
because a mother always knows.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. And then
that's when he tells them that Fowler is dirty.
Yeah. And so because you know there's a dirty cop. What do you do in this case, Brian? How do you take care of it if you're, you know, Detective Terrence Howard?
I go shoot pool with him.
Yeah, right. I go to the empty bar, you know, whatever, where it's
by myself.
Yeah, by myself. No recording devices or weapons, as far as I know. And just like, hey, so you could dirty cop maybe? I don't know, maybe. What? Why would you say that? Just a whole bunch of nonsense in this fucking scene, and then it ends up, oh wait, I forgot to tell you, Fowler shoots Terrence Howard down.
That's when they figure out that he figures it out, because he's at one of Victor Sweet's spots, like one of the bars that he owns or clubs that that's where he's like playing pool, and that's how he like breaches it or whatever. Like, isn't this one of Victor Sweet's places?
It's like,
I don't think so.
Like, maybe. I don't know.
Are you dirty?
I just know the beer's cheap, you know.
Right.
Cops and then pool for free, you know.
Well, I don't understand, is he just hits him in the leg with a pool stick and then he's like, all right, cool, see you later.
Yeah. Like just start slowly walking away, and that's when he's like, oh wait, I forgot to tell you, pop gets fucking mowed down.
So he's gonna have no retribution for that.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you arrest him? Like at the bare minimum, not just hit him in the leg with a pool stick.
Or you beat him to punch and scream, he's got a gun, and then just mow him down right there in the pool.
Right. Ugh.
No, but so Detective Howard's dead. Oh no. And apparently he was, because we got to the funeral, and apparently he was buried right next to their mom, and I'm like, is there another story to this?
I mean,
it could be four brothers too.
Oh shit, he was the fifth brother. He's gonna come back in the sequel or something.
Four brothers plus one.
That's the name of their band. Yeah. Then they meet up like, all right, so obviously Victor Sweet's behind all this shit, but we can't take him on straight up. What if we offered him the $400,000 for a truce and, you know, no givesy backsies or whatever? Like, I mean, it might work. Why not? I guess. So yeah, they, I don't know, they gear up and, Jerry sends the wife and kids to the grandma's. Her is just like, hey, why don't you hang out in Canada for like 6 months just until things blow over? And, oh, that's right. Like Tyrese talks to like one kid. He's like, hey, I'll give you $20 and a box of Baby Ruths if you do something for me. And I'm like, oh no, stranger with candy, run, kid.
Right.
Yeah. So they've got to try to set up Fowler and also get the money to Victor Sweet all within like a 3-hour time period. So they all they split up.
Yeah. So the kid goes to knocks on the door at Fowler's place and is like, would you like to buy some candy bars? And he just takes one of them. Is like, the fuck out of here, kid. I'm a cop, whatever. But then Tyrese, I guess, snuck in the back door and starts suffocating his ass with a plastic bag. basically they get the call from Tyrese like, oh yeah, he's taken care of. All right, cool. So then Jerry goes to meet up with Evan and show him the money and all that shit. Or that's right. I guess he hops in Evan's car with a couple of thugs or whatever. And then Sophia tells the cops that her boyfriend is going to kill a cop or something. I'm like, God damn it. Well, this isn't necessary. this extra drama isn't necessary, guys. But yeah. But it plays into the plan.
It's to draw all the police to his house so that they can continue on the other side of the plan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What, a cop's in trouble? Everybody get over to this address right now. Bring
every
the donuts.
Cop in Detroit's going to his house.
That's right. All six of them.
Yep.
I've seen RoboCop 2.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. So yeah, they surround the house. Meanwhile, Jerry and Eva, they drive out to meet with some guys on a frozen lake, and
this is a pretty awesome scene though with Tyrese, because he's convincing him that he's wearing a wire, and he doesn't buy it at first, and then once the cops show up and he shows him the wire, he immediately flips on him, he got him.
Yeah, he starts confessing Murder She Wrote style.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. I killed her. I'm going to do it again, too. I'm going to get the fuck away with it. Yeah. And oh, yeah, cool, because they're listening to this. That's why they're surrounding us right now. He's like, what? And he gets the drop on Angel, and I'm like, and that's when he shot in the head. Roll credits, guys. What do we think? Yeah. but nope. Instead,
we got the long drives out on the frozen lake. All the cars converging into this one giant ice hole that six people are just standing around.
Yeah. It's kind of sitting out chilling. No shack, no fishing going on. Like, come on, guys. Yeah. Might as well.
Just a couple of chainsaws and some guys and a fire.
And when Jerry or whatever first gets there, he's like, what the fuck is this? He's like, no. They're just making a hole. Don't worry about it. Easy guys with chainsaws. Oh, I don't want to die like Fargo, But Vic shows up, he sees the money, and he's basically, and he turns on him like, I'm just gonna take the money and kill all you motherfuckers anyway. Oh damn, your sudden but inevitable betrayal. But then Jerry's like, oh, that's weird, because this money isn't for you. This is for your buddies here. They're gonna throw your ass in this hole.
So for the hardworking workers who are probably the union workers. Union workers. And the one guy's like, I've never missed a union meeting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, but then it's not quite done yet, because someone else is now joining the party.
Yeah.
It's Max Payne.
Which one of you are gonna? Which one are you gonna do it? Which one are you gonna finish me off? And then they all just turn into another car just driving out.
Yep. And that walks Marky Mark.
I got to admit, though, his fur coat is amazing in this scene.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I expect to walk up to that thing and say, I'm your Huckleberry.
I love it. He just opens the bag of money and he's like, I like the way you do business.
Yeah. totally. Oh yeah, meanwhile we go back to the standoff with the police or whatever, and Fowler, he's got Tyrese he's holding a hostage or whatever, coming out the front door, and he's like, that's right, I killed her, you're not gonna take me down, I want a helicopter, blah blah blah. And he's like, Fowler, what the fuck are you doing, buddy? We're here to save you, I think. What's going on?
what are you doing?
Yeah, but then Tyrese hits him in the stomach, where it rolls away. And they're like, Fowler, don't shoot. And then they just, you know, take him out, cops out. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, what an idiot. Okay, there we go. But then we go back to the prize fight between Marky Mark and Chiwetel Ejiofor, or, you know, Victor Sweet is pop, pop, pop. Oh, yeah, anyway, Marky Mark wins. You know he's going to. Come on.
So my question about this is, like, they're just, like, fist fighting, right? And, they're fighting, and then he knocks Victor out. And then, so he's still very much alive.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just pick him up and throw him in the water?
Yep.
Like, is that supposed to kill him? Is he supposed to just drown?
I guess it's like, oh, yeah, he's knocked out, probably got a concussion or something. So once he hits the freezing water, even if he starts, you know, like, struggling and stuff, they're just going to be standing there waiting by the hole, like,
just watching him drown.
Yeah, just go down in the hole. Otherwise, you pull out the chainsaw to help, you know.
So what happens when you go through the ice is your body's reaction to, like, instant temperature change is to take a deep breath. So he's going to swallow a bunch of water, and then he's going to thrash. So he's going to, like, end up not in the hole. He's going to end up under the ice.
There you go.
He's not getting out.
Yeah.
And he's going to do
something. That was a very technical answer to my question of, like, he's not dead. Like, you're just throwing him in the water. Like, just why don't you just shoot him?
Yeah, he's not going to last more than, like, 3 minutes in the water. That's the thing. Yeah. And I assume all those, like, 8 other guys, like, it's going to take them that long just to, like, I don't know, finish their cigarette before they drive off. So they're like, yep, no more bubbles. All right, let's go.
Yeah, this way, when the cops find him in spring, there's going to be no bullets or anything. He's just a dumb fucker who drowned on the lake.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, that always just stuck with me. I'm like, you just, like, you didn't, like, kill him. Like, you just knocked him out. Like,
oh, he's dead. Just...
Right.
Oh, he did. And he was buried right next to Detective Howard and their mom.
Oh, it's getting weird.
So then we cut to the police interrogating the four brothers separately. And, you know,
like, three of the four brothers.
Oh, yeah, I guess Jerry. Well, I'd be worried if they were interrogating Jack, I guess. Tell us what we want to know. And then it just pops off because it's like a skeleton.
Yeah, they're just, like, beating the shit out of them in the interrogation room.
He's got sunglasses on, like, Weekend of Bernie's or whatever. Like, I see. Tight-lipped, huh? We'll see about that. Like, meet up afterwards and, like, you tell him anything? Yeah, I told him I was fucking his wife. Me too.
Me too.
Nah, me too.
Jim, what are you doing here? Hey guys, I'm back from beyond the grave, ready for one more dance.
Oh, it's my boyfriend's back.
Steve, stop trying to make this a magic mic. All right, so
it is his last dance. In theaters tonight. Oh, well, shit, not tonight when this comes out, but
yeah,
night when we like a month ago this.
When this comes out, yeah.
Well, in that time, it'll be the box office phenomenon blockbuster that we all expected to overtake Avatar and Top Gun 2.
See, and you may think I may stop doing the promo I've been doing for the last 4 or 5 years about them going to space. The little commercial I made, but you know what? It could still happen.
Yep.
Anything is possible at this point.
That's right.
Auto sequence start. Yeah, we have a go for auto sequence start. Discovery's onboard computers have primary control of all the vehicle's critical functions.
Houston, final systems check for Space Shuttle Orion is affirmative. All systems are go on our end.
All systems go on our end to Orion. T-minus 30 seconds to launch.
Copy that, Houston. Next up, the International Space Station. Houston, we're picking up some interference on our end, over.
Roger that, Orion, we're getting it as well. Probably a local R&B station. Orion, we just got a sensor blip about a seatbelt becoming detached. Houston, we have a problem. One of the passengers is out of his restraints and gyrating sexually around the cabin area. We must have to postpone the... Orion, cancel that. The sensor has disengaged.
Nope, sir. T-minus 5. Please get back into your restraint.
4.
What are you...
3.
Put your helmet back
2,
on. Houston!
1.
Houston!
One last hurrah. The ultimate road trip. Only without roads.
What are you talking about? We gave that stuff up.
Bro, I'm talking about making history. Who else but the Kings of Tampa to be the first male entertainment troupe to perform in space? The cultural phenomenon is back. One last time.
Who are we even going to perform for?
You know, scientist babes, bro. Billionaire heiresses, princesses. You know they got commercial flights going up there now? Only the hottest, richest, and most powerful ladies in all the world. They'll be throwing suitcases of hundreds.
Suitcases of hundreds that they brought into space?
Dude, don't kill my vibe. I just took some molly.
We've never even danced without gravity before. I mean, would sweat just kind of float around us? Or how does that even...
Dude, what did I just say? Don't worry about it. Magic Mike, Zero G Stream. Starring Channing Tatum, Joe Manganiello, Matt Bomer, and Ed Harris as Captain Smolders.
Gentlemen, we're receiving a communication hail. Go ahead, Houston.
Houston? At least you got the state right.
What the? And the return of Academy Award winner Matthew McConaughey.
You didn't think you'd make it all the way to space without old Dallas's help, did you?
Oh, shh. Magic Mike, Zero G Stream.
So they got interrogated. Yeah, we cut to them like rebuilding the mom's house because, you know, it got lit up like a fucking Christmas tree with SEAL Team 6.
Fact.
And yeah, you got a Marky Mark out front, you know, cutting some boards, got kids in the street playing street hockey in front of the house, presumably how they did when they were kids.
Yeah. Oh, and then the ghost of their mom shows up on the porch and shit too. And, you know, you thinking about sticking around, Bobby? And I'm like, yeah, what if she was just haunting that place? You know, that comes up in the sequel, you know?
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Avenge me.
I did. So. There's nobody left for me to kill.
There were so many enemies I had, but I left.
I had so many more enemies.
So many more lovers for you to discover. You know what, Mom? I think I'm gonna move.
By the way, not the first movie she's been a ghost in.
Oh no, that's right.
She's the old lady from The Others.
Spoiler.
If you haven't seen The Others by now, you're not gonna watch it.
But, I mean, probably not. So yeah, roll credits, guys. That's four brothers. Wait, there's some deleted scenes during the credits for some reason.
Yeah.
Where we see, you know, Marky Mark playing hockey and I don't know, Jerry's like striking with the union or whatever, and he like decks somebody.
Past.
Yeah. I assume these were things that were going to be playing when Detective Terrence Howard was introducing them at the funeral, but they cut them out. We see Angel trying to do credit card fraud in the airport, and they're like, "I'm sorry, Mr. Wong, this ID just doesn't work." Like,
your card has been reported stolen. Yeah, oh, this guy over here is my uncle. Hey, uncle, I gotta go.
Yeah, and we see the ghost of Jack at a concert, and and yeah, so that's four brothers. Brian, would you recommend this movie?
I would.
Yeah,
as fun as we made it sound, it is a really good movie.
Yeah, it's a little more obviously like focused on vengeance and, you know, family and that kind of stuff. So
they don't have friends; they have family.
That's right. Wait, it was a Roman spinoff. That's what. How about you, babe? Would you recommend this?
Yeah, it was very slow in the beginning. I won't lie. And I was like, the first, I don't know, maybe half hour, I was pretty disappointed because I was like, this is such a good fucking concept. Like, come on, guys, like roll with it. But the ending makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, if you're going to be Death Wish, be fucking Death Wish.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Death Wish 4, brothers.
No. Right?
No, Steve, I think that was something else. I gotta recommend it. It's kind of like the Roman side quest to the Fast and Furious universe.
Right? We need to know more about Roman's family history.
That's right. on that note, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have more beer, fun facts, and what we learned from Four Brothers.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
There's so many podcasts out there. How do I find the one for me?
For so long, I've searched for podcasts all over, but none of them seem to fit my needs. Where's my Nick Cage Pissing Fire podcast? Where's my Monkey Tickling? I couldn't find it anywhere until I found Everything I Learned from Movies podcast with Steve and Izzy. And now I get to hear about all the monkey tickling I want, baby.
So many podcasts out there are all talk and no Congo. That's why I listen to Everything I Learned from Movies.
Greatest Living Actor? Nicolas Cage, of course. That's why I listen to Everything I Learned from Movies.
One-liners, plot holes, gratuitous boobies? Fun fact, that's why I listen to Everything I Learned from Movies.
See if Everything I Learned from Movies is right for you at EILF Movies, that's Everything I Learned from Movies, on Twitter, Facebook, or Patreon. Free on all the major podcatchers.
Hey everybody, this is Jason.
And Jeff.
And Blake.
And we're the History of Bad Ideas podcast. And if you like hearing geeks talk about Fisto from He-Man,
or zombies, or dragons, or zombie dragons?
I was given copy to read, but it's a piece of crap. So if you just like any geek or any fun stuff, just listen.
We drop every Wednesday on iTunes, Stitcher, Tangent Bound Network, or WeBeGeeksPC.com.
Oh God, I'm out of here. And remember to wear a coat.
Hey everybody, are you looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for the holidays? Do you like supporting the arts? Well then you need to check out untidyvenus.etsy.com, the top one-stop shop that always pops her top. Are you a fan of dinosaurs? Snacks? Dinosaurs made out of snacks? Movie monsters? Unicorns? Cats? Dogs? Rats? Shrimp? Pokemon? Tie-dye? Paracord bracelets? Paracord dog leashes? Enamel pins? Coloring books? Block prints? Watercolor? Pet portraits? Buttons, magnets, stickers, bottle openers, artist trading cards, or really anything else that's awesome? Then stop on by untidyvenus.etsy.com. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. Etsy.com. New items are popping up all the time, so be sure to follow her on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or Patreon at untidyvenus. Or visit her website at izzycreates.com for the latest. Did I mention the Snackosaurs? How about Gary the Unicorns? Untidyvenus.etsy.com. The goddess who's bad at housekeeping. Check it out now.
Hi, this is Dana Gould, and you're listening to Everything I Learned from Movies on your radio, phone, computer, television, or record player.
And we're back.
Oh my God, Steve, those are the greatest ads that ever added in the history of adding.
Babe, I don't know about you. Oof, I'm thirsty.
Oh, that's weird, because I'm still sober.
I've been stuck in a frozen lake. Let's see. From Anger Brewing, which is a private brewery since 1878. Oh, so a young one. We have their Altbayerische Dunkel. Ooh, a nice old Dunkel. Root according to Reinheitsgebot, purity law of 1516, product of Germany. Bottled, as he brewed and bottled by, okay, Brauerei Eyung Franz Inselkramer in Eyung, Germany. There we go. And mein top.
Oh, sounds amazing.
Nice. Oh, and the pour. So the foam was starting to come out there. So.
Sipping some head.
All right, and the pour.
What? Oh, this is a beautiful auburn-colored beverage. Has an absolutely stunning beige-colored foamy head. Lots of bubbles dissipating quickly.
Lots of bubbles dissipating quickly. Yeah, cute little cap on it with a little Bavarian city.
Hmm. Smells like a little sherry. We've had this one for a while. But dunkles also sometimes smell a little sherry.
Here, since you're having tummy issues, I'll go first.
Alrighty.
Hmm. Yeah, there's a little sherry on it.
All right.
Not that bad, but yeah,
definitely. Not too bad.
Yeah, same.
Not as fresh as it could be.
Still tastes like a dunkel, but yeah, a little more of the like green apple kind of stuff going in there, and yeah, not the greatest dark lager I've ever had, but not bad. Brian, how about you?
I went with some Woodford Reserve.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Always a good choice.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Well, would either of you be interested in any fun facts?
I don't know, Steve. Are they fun facts? Super fun facts because they're fun, fun facts.
I mean, I like to think so. Well, let's find out. All right, Rotten Tomatoes. Brian, what do you think the critics thought of Four Brothers? Like, how many out of 100%?
Knowing how critics are, I'd say they probably gave it a 70.
All right. Izzy?
I'm going to say 62.
Izzy is closest. It's 52 with the critics, but
oh, 52.
Nobody gives a fuck about the critics. What about that audience score?
Oh, audience score.
I'll say an 84.
Is he?
You know what? I'm gonna take a 75.
Ooh, right in the middle, 80.
Oh shit.
Ooh.
There we go. $45 million budget, worldwide gross, 92.4. So basically broke even with advertising and stuff, I guess. This is based on the Henry Hathaway Western, The Sons of Katie Elder, 1965, starring John Wayne and Dean Martin.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah.
Did you kill my mother? I don't know, buddy.
Yeah, Pilgrim.
I assume Dean Martin's the bad guy.
He's drunk the whole thing. No, yeah. They're brothers.
We are brothers, you and I.
somebody who claims to hate the last unicorn, you sure quote it a lot.
Right.
Are the other two brothers Sammy Davis Jr. and Frank Sinatra?
No, it's Andy Griffith and Don Knotts.
Oh
no, it's those two assholes from Bela Lugosi Meets a Brooklyn Gorilla.
Oh, Sammy Petrillo and the other guy.
Yeah.
So Ethan Hawke, Matt Damon, and Ben Affleck all turned down the role of Bobby.
Oh.
Ethan Hawke loved the script, but could not commit to it because of scheduling conflicts. What have you been making in 2005? That doesn't matter. Matt Damon.
Bad choices.
Exactly. Probably something classy like Macbeth. But yeah, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck both said no because they found the script to be, quote, ultra violent. And of course, the role of Evelyn Mercer was originally going to be Betty
Helen
White.
Helen Mirren. No, Betty White.
Ah, Betty White, yeah.
I was going to say, I was thinking Helen Mirren.
You're trying to get that Fast and Furious tie-in again.
There you go. I could see Ethan Hawke playing that role, but not either Damon or Affleck.
Yeah, it's a... If Kevin Smith were directing, it'd be Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Jason Mewes, and Kevin Smith as the Warner Brothers. Be great. Many of Mark Wahlberg's lines were improvised. What? No. Garrett Hedlund had difficulty improvising his lines, so director John Singleton and Mark Wahlberg helped him through it. Okay. Oh, shit. Here we go. The bathroom scene took 2 days to shoot. For 12 hours a day, Mark Wahlberg rested his bare bottom on a cold toilet.
Seriously?
And Garrett Hedlund stood in a hot shower. And Tyrese wore nothing but a robe. Okay. Mark Wahlberg had to be helped off the toilet at the end of each day, and Garrett Hedlund's skin peeled and pruned. Why?
No. Why?
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 That's that was completely so hard to shoot about that.
They could have been watching a fucking hockey game in the front room, perfectly comfortable. Yeah. Why 2 days? Why 12 hours?
Well, what about that scene was so difficult? Like,
yeah.
It was a very it was just like,
Is it because it was like a one shot for 4.5 minutes?
Maybe Garrett Hedlund couldn't hear his cue or something. like in the shower. Yeah. Like, no, get your head out of the water, dumbass. Yeah. All right. When I say now and you hear boom, boom, that means go. I think he's talking to you. Simpsons reference achieved. And any guesses? Oh, go for it. Sorry.
Nah, that's bizarre.
Yeah.
Of all of the shots that would take the longest in that movie, that would not be on my my list.
The car chase took about 3 hours, all one take, basically.
Right. No. Right.
But nope. 24 hours of Marky Mark sitting bare ass with Garrett Hedlund in the shower and Tyrese asking why his dick itches. That's filmmaking. Any guesses how many times the word fuck was said in this movie?
77.
Is
he? Fuck if I know. 154.
Brian's closest, 62. Surprisingly low. No. Damn near PG-13. But we've reached the most important part. What did we learn? Four brothers. Brian is our guest. Would you like to go first?
Yeah. I learned that four brothers, they don't have to look alike to be family.
Family.
Because if you go back to the first scene there where after the funeral, Marky Mark and Garrett Hedlund are introducing themselves to Jerry's kids, and they introduce them as, you know, I'm your Uncle Bobby, this is your Uncle Jack. And they're like, you're not our uncles, you're white.
It's like, oh, but your grandmother raised me and your dad.
That's right. And the cops in Detroit don't care about vigilante crime.
They don't give a fuck about nobody.
Nope.
How about you, babe? What'd you learn?
Oh, I mean, so many things to take from this movie, but probably the Tyrese's dick itches.
I mean, probably.
Like, let's be real, everyone in this movie's dick itches at this moment right now.
B&L Flanagan's dick itches.
Right. Do you know how much pussy she takes down?
That's right. Slay queen. I learned the best way to get information is to pull a strap at a basketball game randomly. And
you definitely won't get shot.
No, definitely not. And what else I learned? I don't know. You always hire out of town shooters. That's just a given.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they stay out of town.
You don't shit where you eat.
That's right. When you hire in town shooters, you get in town problems.
That's right. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us here on Everything I Learned from Movies. I understand you also have a podcast.
Yeah. The History of Bad Ideas.
Oh, what's that?
It is a history podcast where we don't talk about history at all whatsoever.
I hope you guys are listed as a history podcast. I really do.
It's actually a true crime podcast.
So fun story. We get tagged probably 2 to 3 times a month in a list of history podcasts that people are promoting on Twitter. Like, nice. they include us in their, like, you know, follow Fridays or whatever, like, for history podcasts, and we're always tagged in it, and it's amazing. Like, we're 0.0% do we ever talk about history.
I mean, sometimes some of the story, no, not really, no.
Like, no.
But yeah, check them out. Occasionally we pop up on there, and, you know, Brian here is always keeping them on track and focused. Sometimes they get on those tangents.
It's hard, but somebody has to do it. And it's definitely not going to be BlakeBot. Yeah, that is what she said.
Excellent. So yeah, check them out. History of Bad Ideas, all the major podcatchers at Bad Ideas Podcast. Yeah,
History of Bad Ideas Podcast on Facebook.
Oh, yep. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Are you guys scheduled to be on with us anytime soon?
I think we're peek behind the curtain when we come to Bachfest or whatever here in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
think we're actually going to be in Bob Studios. So,
what? Oh, that's going to be fun. We'll that's right, you guys. Out. So, will this be out before or after you guys are in town?
If you're listening to this right now, we've been back for about 2 weeks, so don't worry about it, guys. Yeah. Don't worry, you've heard all about it on a mini episode.
Totally,
sure.
I wore something super slutty to Bob's Studios.
That's right. We probably ate some shitty Oreos and drank a lot of beer.
Oh, that Skyline chili.
Oh, yeah. Skyline spaghetti.
That's probably what I'm going to have for dinner.
Nice.
Oh, snap. We missed it when we were in Cincinnati the last time, so we have to do it this time.
Yeah, we're only there for a day and a half. So.
Yeah, we're there for like 36 hours.
You guys are here for like a week, right?
Yeah. Flying like in on a Wednesday and out on a Tuesday, like a full six and a half days. It's going to be sweet.
Nice. Yeah, we'll hit up some. Did you guys get to Madtree when you guys were here?
Madtree? Oh no. That's one. Yeah, we definitely have on the list though.
Yeah, that'll be a good one for us to go to.
Excellent. Babe, are you on social media at all?
Nope. Can't be found.
Well, in that case, swing by my spot at Untidy Venus. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. All my art is there. I go by Izzy, though. It's a legal thing. Don't worry about it.
You also have amazing pet portraits over there.
I do have amazing pet portraits over at Untidy Venus.
If you guys need pet portraits, look up Steve's amazing pet portraits on untidyvenus.etsy.com. They are amazing. His preferred medium is ballpoint pen.
That's right.
They're very affordable.
That's right. Steve's amazing pet portrait. Cheap and worth it.
You can also find us on Instagram at Untidy Venus. And you can find us at EILF Movies. That's everything
I learned from movies.
On all your favorite podcatchers. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon at EILF Movies. You can also find us at EILFmovies.com, where Steve reviews basically everything we watch.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It works out to a little over a movie a day. So
how was the Murder, She Wrote count coming?
Oh, I haven't done the episodes, but I did review 15 seasons of Supernatural.
Ah, you should start doing season roundups.
I don't know. Seems like a lot to remember.
Okay. You say you just finished 15 seasons of Supernatural?
Was it 17? It was all of them. Whatever. We watched all of them.
Good damn near 400 episodes.
We've seen every single episode. I don't recommend it. Nope. I do not.
Do what everybody else did. Stop after season 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Season 6. So I think my wife made it maybe to season 8 and then stopped, but she has recently delved back into it and had kind of started over again. So she's trying to finish it.
Tell her if she enjoyed Leviathan, stop after season 7. The rest of it is not worth it. Just look up the Scooby-Doo episode. That one was fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And then, yeah, she can watch the season finale.
Or the series finale.
Series finale. Oh, the season 14 season finale is pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah. That's where they should have stopped it.
But they got a whole other season out of it.
So, yeah, I guess until next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And I'm Lord Chancellor Brian.
Yeah. And this is Everything I Learned from Movies. Have a good night, everybody.